The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyambi Tatiyambi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Sangaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sava. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are here to end suffering.
And if ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Should we look at this morning? Jen?
I had a couple things I was looking at. One, I had this fun experience this morning where I slept so much last night. And so I woke up. I couldn't believe what time it was. And it was so interesting. I had this really fun image of it later of a Voices cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Where, like, so the Voices have set this little trap that they're so sure is going to get me. That they're, like, kicking back and smoking cigars. And, you know, high-fiving each other.
They're going to get her.
Yeah. So, like, they're not even paying attention.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so clear they're going to get me.
Right.
And so I woke up and I looked at the clock and I was like, huh. Okay. So I think I'll just do a shortened version of my morning routine. And it was like I just walked right around the trap. And I got this image of, like, so I'm sort of way down the road past the trap, and the Voices are looking at each other like, wait, what happened?
Where is she? She's supposed to be at the trap.
Yeah, I mean, that was so foolproof.
Wow.
And yeah. I just walked right, you know, I just went, oh, guess I needed some sleep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the response that you had was not the one that they had kind of counted on,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, what, that you would have...
Oh, now I have to hurry, and all these things I wanted to do, and this big agenda that I had, and of course it's the same old, okay, so why did I want to do all those things?
Yeah.
Because they support me from feeling peaceful
mm-hmm.
and in well-being.
Uh-huh.
So I think I won't hurry up and be in self-hate to do those things.
So that hurrying and being in self-hate don't equal being in peace, well-being.
I wanted to get up at, you know, a certain time so I could be at peace. Well, I got up at this other certain time.
I see. Oh, that's great. Yeah,
yeah. It's just so fun to see how content is content.
Content is content, and gosh, the response that we have to it just makes all the difference in the world.
It does. It's just so
nice.
Yeah.
It makes a difference between whether we stay in well-being and peace or we end up in the trap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Self-hate.
Yeah. So the other thing I was looking at was so helpful to see. I've been looking at a lot in the last months at this particular sort of piece of karma that shows up. And I realized that it can feel like this just started happening.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah.
This is brand new. I've never seen
right.
it before.
And really, why did I, like, disturb this hornet's nest
uh-huh.
kind of thing?
Uh-huh.
And it was so helpful to see recent... Let's see how to describe it. It's like, because it's so, I've seen so much about it, I have so many recordings now about it, and I've seen so much, that I can actually now see, oh my gosh, this really has been operating all the time, just at this lower grade level. Like, the image I got of it was like, there's this little sore on my arm. Mm-hmm. And it's there, and it's there, and it's there, and it's there. And I finally decided to kind of do something about it. Mm-hmm. And then realizing, oh wow, that sore is on my arm because there's this raging infection underneath it. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so, at first it feels like, well, that's a lot worse.
Oh, well, why did I?
Yeah.
I didn't even attend to it. It was just on the surface there for a while.
Right. But to realize, yeah, I mean, it could have just been a little sore for probably, I don't know how much longer, uh-huh. but it was never going away.
No.
It was never, it always needed attending to. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, what's underneath of it is that raging infection that you might describe. It's like, yeah. You're just ignoring something that needs attending to.
Yeah. So that I found out, that here's how it was solved. So I found out that, you know, basically my best friend, really, really, really good friend of mine, had written an email to my sister. This really nice email, because my sister's having this great, like, happening, and so she was writing to her expressing, you know, I'm so happy for you, etc. And I, because this whole thing is so in focus, I watched a reaction of, wait, she's my friend. Mm-hmm. And that was familiar enough that I realized, wow, that has always been there. And I've never realized it. Mm-hmm. And that's actually, I can see so clearly, that's why that example was so helpful, that that's not me. Mm-hmm. Because I have no question that I love both of these people, mm-hmm. and that both of these people love me, mm-hmm. and that there's nothing that's going to happen that will have someone take my place in their life. You know, it's just, there's nothing in me that feels confused about that or insecure, whatever word. But as I watched that happen, it was so helpful to see, oh my goodness, there it is. Mm-hmm. There it is. And that is egocentric karmic conditioning in operation, mm-hmm. and how deep and big it is, and so how grateful I am that I'm assisting this person to be freed from that unconscious habitual reaction to things.
Yeah, that the unconscious habitual reaction is what it's literally to the first example they gave is like this underlying thing that's supposedly going to try to trap you.
Yeah.
This like this thing that's just it's like they're just sitting back smoking cigars.
Yeah.
And just like, got her with this one, you know, because this is the habitual thing that she's going to fall for. And you're seeing clearly that, no, you love both of these people. You have no question about what's, you know, what's what, and how to, and it's, you're not taking any of it personally.
Yeah.
It's not about you.
Yeah, and you know, that's very helpful as you reflect that, because I saw two things. One is, when it's unconscious. So that actually could play itself out to a point where suddenly I feel a little bit yucky or something, and I haven't seen what happened. And the other is, no wonder it's picking up such a fuss as I turn the spotlight to it.
Uh-huh.
Because there it is, set the trap that forever has been foolproof.
Yeah.
A complete no-brainer, easy for the voices to get me.
Right.
I'll just set that trap out and get back.
You get it out.
But I'm catching it.
Uh-huh. You are.
And so they're going crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You cannot catch this.
Yeah.
And so the next strategy is, we'll make your life awful if you start to see this. We'll make it start to have you feel so awful seeing this that we'll get you to turn back.
Turn back.
Yeah, turn back from the awareness.
Turn back from the awareness.
I don't see it. You know, you can have the life back because it's, you know, that sort of thing. And to realize, you know, no.
Uh-huh.
It's, you know, I'm willing for it.
Yeah, you're willing for it, and you're not confused about what's going on.
Yeah,
because that's another place we can fall into. It's just like, so, you know, it's really related to the first thing you said too. It's like, what you want is well-being, peace.
Right.
And it's like, how is this supportive of this bigger, it's almost like losing perspective of the overarching thing, you know, the love that you have for these two people, which is what it's supposed to kind of erase, and it's supposed to say something negative about you.
Yep.
And so instead of you know, like what you were supposed to do, what, you know, the voices were supposed to have their way was, you're supposed to feel bad. This is what it means about you.
Yeah.
And you lose sight of the everything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a good point. That I actually lose what I'm receiving in that.
Mm-hmm.
All of the focus is back on quote unquote me. Because it's not really. It's on ego.
Right.
But and then of course the second hook is, and look at you. It's all about you. It's not about your love for other people, it's all about you.
It's all about you.
Yeah.
Right. So that's another way that would drag you back in again, huh?
Yeah,
I imagine it. Yeah. Gosh. It's just persistent how it does it. It's almost like it, you know, you really don't want to see this, you really don't want to have this happen, and yet it's amazing that we really do.
We really do.
Because otherwise it's like a whole area in which I am totally not free.
Yeah. And that's, it just, for me, it's so helpful to carry those awarenesses into the time that's really, really painful.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize, okay, all right, you know, this is actually what I want.
Right. Yeah, this is actually what I want. I'm not trying to skirt around this one, pretend like it never happened, let it just fester the way it, you know, it's always, so that it could come get me later on when I'm even.
Exactly, that's the thing, you know, at very least.
It's not now, when.
No, at very least it's reassuring to know, actually it wasn't an option to not fix it.
Right?
I mean, maybe it was going to be lifetimes down the road, but
now
it's perfect.
Now it's perfect, because when else? Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've been having this really interesting practice opportunity, and somehow it's related to some of the things that were just being said. I fell last week and hurt my arm, and fortunately for me, it's my left arm. It's a very right-handed person, so it's not as bad as it could be. But so it's just been this really fascinating experience of seeing how much I can do with it without hurting it again. You know, like not just favoring it to the point where I don't let it exercise itself, or on the other hand, pushing because why God, I'm not going to push it.
It's my arm. I can do it.
Well, but I don't get injured, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And
that's a little bit of a denial there.
Oh yeah. It was a whole identity thing, and it was so interesting because I heard it on Tuesday, and. Then the morning after, the next morning was at the gym, upper body day, where we do weights and stuff with our arms.
The upper body, yeah.
So I went to class, and I did everything I could do, and I didn't do the things I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that may seem obvious, but that's a big thing for me. I remember when I used to do ministry in San Francisco, and I went mostly with people with AIDS. There was this great guy named Brett who just became a model for me. And as he lost his capacities, he was the most gracious person I ever knew about asking for or accepting help that he needed and not seeking or accepting help he didn't need.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing to watch him be able to do that as he kind of went downhill. But he always kind of knew just where that was and seemed to be, as far as I could project, completely okay with wherever that was.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been sort of channeling Brett this week. Just channeling or having that experience of inviting myself to do whatever I can do and not just gutting it through it or, you know.
Yeah.
And what I'm experiencing is tremendous kindness for myself.
Yeah. That just do that. Coming from that perspective, is you're experiencing great kindness in that, because there's another way that you could habitually do it, which is to cut your way through it, and just to say, you know, by golly, it's, you know, my body, I'm going to do whatever it is I need to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or the other extreme is to favor the other arm so much that this one doesn't get any exercise at all, but paying attention to what it is that actually is possible for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this fits for you, but something about doing more than the voices say you can do and less than you think you should. You're kind of coming from a place of, it's going to need to come from center rather than, you know, the habitual place that it could come from, which is, you know, this, you know, you're going to do what you need to do.
Well, and it's paying attention to it, you know, it's letting it tell me.
Yes.
What it means doing. And part of what's really interesting for me about it is I don't see any story about it. I don't, you know, I can see in times past that I could have gotten really angry about this, or upset about it, or alarmed about it, or in that sort of grim place, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm just watching that none of that is happening. Uh-huh. And it's just amazing to me that none of that's happening. And I had just a little model of it, just this instant ago. So we you know, put our hands together and said Gashel and say that in my recitation. Mm-hmm. And when I've been sitting for a while, it's hard to move, the arm is get stiff, it's hard to move it, so I'm cranking it up, you know. Uh-huh. So I got my hands together, and this arm, it just is a little bit painful. And it was like I heard my right arm say, just lean on me. Uh-huh. Just lean on me. Do it as long as you can, just lean on me, it's okay. Uh-huh. And it's like that, you know. And I felt like that's the gift that practice gives us. You know, I felt like that was a model of practice. It's like just lean here, just rest here, I'll hold you as you learn to do this. I'll hold you as you gather whatever strength you need, you know, as you become more flexible and more strong. It just felt like a model for me of practice, and it feels like this whole response I'm having is a response to it, is all out of practice. Uh-huh. Just because it's not my habitual kind of reaction to this kind of thing.
Yeah, and you're noticing that it's not your habitual reaction to things, so you're noticing the difference in that it could go one way. You know, you've seen it over the years going that way, and then something is different. Something different has happened, and you're coming from a completely different place. It's coming from kindness. It's coming from doing what's best for you.
Yeah, it's coming from practice. Mm-hmm. You know, it really feels like it's not coming from some identity.
Yeah.
And so it's just thrilling and exciting to see that.
Yeah, thrilling, exciting to see that. And it's just like, wow, this is what happens when one practices. It's like it's possible that you know you could injure yourself, and that all the steps that you would take would be not coming from some story or idea about how you should be or what you can or can't do, but rather this is what we got, and just responding from that.
And just two more things. One was I had a moment of thinking, well, what if this never cleared up? And I just thought, well, then I'll just keep doing this. If it doesn't get better, I'll just keep doing this.
Kindness and paying attention.
and it occurred to me also that...
And that's the experiential half penny.
Yes, that's the experiential half. Uh-huh. And the other thing that occurred to me is it's kind of a neat thing to practice with, because, you know, I'm not getting younger. Mm. And as time goes on, there will be things that will be more difficult to do. Mm. And to be willing to accept them graciously, without either fighting or succumbing, that's trying to live that balance is what's before me to do. So what a great opportunity this is.
And it's come up with something that you can actually work with, and you know, it's not like part of your body fell off or something like that. You know, it's just like, okay, well, this is something that I can practice with. Kind of like waking up a little bit later, you know what I mean? Like, all right, well, the response can be, or it can be, okay, well, what can I do? What is this? What do I want for myself in my life?
Right. Yeah.
This is what I want for myself. Okay. Thank you. Renee?
I've had something similar going on too, related to food, and I started a new food program that's dramatically different than the way that I ate, and today is day 13.
Day 13. That's not today. You have been doing it for a month?
Yeah. No, I've been doing it for 13 days.
13 days.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry, I was thinking of the making a change for good thing. And what is it today? Just the 14th?
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
Actually, it's day 14 because I started on the 1st, so.
Got it.
So I did. Mm-hmm. I'm behind a day. This whole program is based in mindfulness, the food program itself, and it includes meditation and things that nourish my body that I didn't really realize I could do before. So new things that I do for different parts internally and externally. Mm. And I'm seeing huge shifts in my mind and awareness, more awareness of things, including dreams. Mm-hmm. And it's been sort of what Penny's talking about, kindness to myself, because I'm now eating kindly to myself and cooking the food in a kind way, and temperature is really important in food, what I'm doing in the food, and spices and all kinds of things that I never even experimented with before.
Wow.
And so I feel I really, like, sort of like, you know, in What the Bleep, when they talked about the Mylar or the tracks, you can't change them,
uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
It sort of feels like something physically is changing with mm-hmm. that, like, throughout my body, not just my mind, but,
right.
like, my digestion and my mm-hmm. muscles, and it's sort of like I feel tingly sometimes. Like, I've never felt that before. I mean, unless I ran, like, you know, 5 miles or something.
Then you'd be tingling.
Yeah.
Got it.
So, but what's so amazing about it is that it's a kindness to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never, ever been able to go without sugar. Mm. Ever.
I mean, here the sugar's not part of it.
I mean, I've always had to have one piece of sugar each day, right? At least one piece. And I have not had any for 14 days.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't had other things either. A lot of other things that aren't in the diet, which before I couldn't do because of willpower.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't work.
Uh-huh.
But because I'm replacing it with all of these kindness
to me.
Things.
You said there's a whole lot more extra other stuff that you're actually is there rather than a lot of stuff that isn't there.
And my body's not craving anything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get hungry, it's not like I gotta go get something to eat right now. It's like I just need to eat, and what am I gonna eat that's kind of idea, you know? And I'm planning ahead, which I never did before either. So, you know, it was sort of whatever was there, I ate it. And so it's just, it's really incredible when you do that for your body also.
Uh-huh.
And I think practice has a lot to do with it, or I wouldn't be, you know, having all these awarenesses with it. And
mm-hmm.
and they aren't all related to the food or the nutrition. They're just sort of like, in the moment, I'm more like right there going, what did I just do? Like,
uh-huh.
you know, like thoughts that were not nice, or
uh-huh.
or in these dreams, or just bringing awarenesses to things during the day, and
uh-huh.
and I'm sleeping differently, and it's
like
everything's
wonderful. Yeah, it's all wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, as you're describing it, to see how it's all related, you know, like
mm-hmm.
all these aspects, and practice seems to be the, as you're describing it, like the foundation for it all. Like, it's all happening within that context.
Well, I understood the concept mind and body are one,
uh-huh.
and sometimes experienced it every now and then.
Right, it's just like a concept.
Yeah, like with yoga.
Uh-huh.
Like after being on a retreat, at the end of it, I was like, wow, my whole body and mind feel like one.
Uh-huh.
You know, and now I'm experiencing it not on retreat, so it's different. It's a different experience.
Yeah, well, it's an experience that you're having it happen as you were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
program, like you taking this program on, and you're doing it, and you're having that experience as you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you're seeing how things are related, things you've never even considered before, how spices work, how not having sugar in the diet, how
mm-hmm.
having other things in there along with it, how it's affecting the way your mind works, and planning ahead for what it is that you're going to eat, you know, and cooking things at a particular temperature. Like, so it's like a whole,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't know how you talk about sometimes you change a habit and you'll notice how other things just start to switch up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, this is all brand new, and so I just project this whole bunch of other things just switching up as you're
mm-hmm.
as you're doing it. Like your mind, way things link together are moving around differently.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who is my sort of advisor is bringing up things that I tell her about what I'm doing that I didn't see before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the voice that says, well, you've been doing this a long time, you should have seen that, you know, comes up. And then,
I didn't get to see that one.
And but then there's the other one that's like, wow, I didn't see that before. You know, I am doing that. And not in a judgmental way, but just...
Right, but just like, you're having an awareness. It's like, that rather than the voice coming in, taking over, it's like, you should have seen that before.
But when she first says it, I have that, well, I've been doing this for a long time.
Uh-huh.
I would have seen that.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's my first.
Yeah, but you're actually seeing them. You know, like, it's coming up and it's like, there it is. You know, it's just like a 3D or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then, she doesn't know me, so she's just saying whatever. Like, she has no preconceived ideas, like, well, Renee's been Zen meditating for
let's throw this
all this time, so I shouldn't say this to her.
Right. Right, exactly. You're getting to actually have that experience as if she's saying whatever it is that she said.
Yeah, and looking at it and going, wow, that is interesting.
Wow.
Maybe, and then maybe this is happening too, or maybe that. Mm-hmm. Or so it's been really... it's just a completely new way of looking at my body and what goes into it and what and it's like massaging and yoga and more meditating and just different ways of doing it for my body, and it's just really interesting.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and I heard you say wonderful.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
I play football now. My mom didn't let me for like many years. I always wanted to play football.
You've always wanted to play football.
The problem is this year, I'm the smallest on the team. And I always get smashed.
Smashed by the bigger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say it.
You just wanted to say it?
Yeah.
Okay. What's that like?
Hurts.
It hurts. I should have known. I've had that experience before too. I wasn't playing football though. Yeah. Is there more?
No.
Thank you. Todd.
I've just been looking at this week. It's sort of moved more from a concept stage to an experience stage of better ideas versus good ideas.
Better ideas versus good ideas.
Yeah, and we had such a great project on Thursday. It was a 6-step project times 3, so there was 18 steps. And it was just about, halfway through the first 6 steps, I had about 20 better ideas. And it was just like, oh no, I shouldn't have told my supervisor. And I could just, it didn't matter what I did. And it was laid out really specifically. Like, there wasn't a lot of wiggle room. It was like, this is how we're going to do it. These are your supplies. Check in if you have any questions. And it wasn't so much question. It was just, there's a better idea here. I know there's a better idea. And I'd go, and I have to really restrain myself from doing it, because that wasn't the guidance.
Doing the better idea.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this is going to be way more efficient. I got to do this.
Right, we could skip several steps.
Oh, at least. Yeah, I could get this done in half the time, use half the materials, blah, blah, blah. But that's not what was encouraged. So I think it was about in the third sequence, we were down about 15 steps. Well, I got to go say something. I got to bump this up against something. And halfway out of my mouth to my supervisor, the good idea went to better idea. Like, I knew immediately it was ego. It was just like, and she encouraged, like, yeah, we're not going to do that way because this is probably a way to do it. Because of such and such. And it was just, and that was only like 1 out of 30. Like, I can't imagine just, you know, going to my super 30 time, like, oh, this is great. This is going to be the, you know, this is going to revolutionize this task.
You're going to have to write this manual.
Yeah. This is going to be the task manual. And I got to see that. It'd been happening a lot, and it was like, I talked about it earlier. My better idea is always kind of lying undercurrent, and there's nothing to run up against it at home. So I'm running into a lot of better ideas, and then, you know, there's crash and burn, and it's like, oh, how did that happen? Like, why did I follow that track? Because it just imploded. And then I just saw, now, here at the monastery, with the guidelines and the very specific task assignments were given, and the way to do it, and, you know, but then I'm also seeing that could sort of freeze you out of get, if a good idea does occur, because they do drop in. And I posted a few saying better idea ? Good idea ? Because as it was talked about, I think last week is one of the monks said, you know, we don't want people to be automatrons. We don't just being. Not letting life drop in things too, because there might be something that is seen.
But I mean, it could be that, you know, the way that it's laid out can be done a different way. I'm sure there's lots of different ways to do a whole lots of different other things. Right. But if we're looking at how it is that how we do a simple task when it's laid out a particular way, and the better ideas start to drop in every so often, and then you start to see, huh, I wonder what's going on here. Yeah. I wonder, so we're just having an awareness. It sounds like you're having awarenesses happen as you're going along doing these tasks.
Yes.
Of this this repetitive pattern that happens.
Where, right.
Better ideas will drop in, or good ideas, or a different way to do something.
Yeah, and I'm seeing now, it's funny how you said that back to me now, that the most of the conversation about the better idea is really to pull me out of the task I'm doing. Because I'm just seeing that most of them aren't good ideas. They're better ideas.
Uh-huh.
They're not good ideas.
Uh-huh.
And but I'm not present to doing the idea that was given to me, which was a good idea.
Right.
Uh-huh. So, but I did post a few. Some I never saw the light of day. That's cool. I'm like, all right, there you go. Good. Good to know. Better idea. Some saw the light of day. It's like, oh, this has changed. Uh-huh. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't freeze me on that continuum where ego, because I've got conditioning telling me all it is now is better. I'm giving you better ideas, but all it is better ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ever share them. Don't ever communicate any of these because they're better ideas.
Uh-huh. Right, so it's pitching them to try to have you go along with them one way or another. But then it's coming in with another layer of don't share those because those are just better ideas. What's the matter with you for having these better ideas? He's trying to pin it back on you again?
Yeah, okay. How stupid. I go to my Zoom bar.
You're not really paying attention to the job that you're doing.
That's right, because
you're
listening to my better ideas. It's such a vicious circle, it's so... And because it feels so real, I'm doing a task, it feels like, wow, am I having insights here, or am I just having a conversation from,
so it's just interesting, as you're going along doing this, it's like, isn't that exactly what we're doing here, it's like seeing how we cause ourselves to suffer, that's it, bottom line, it's that, mm-hmm. Because we just go along in life just having that kind of stuff go on, and we just never get to see it, that's what's going on.
Yeah, I never really got to see it so vividly till this week, just deepening practice it's something really fun to watch it when I get home, because it just, you can run around, there's just not those edges to run into.
Right, it's just like that's just an insight.
Yeah.
So I've said I'm going to meditate for a half hour every morning at 7 o'clock,
right.
And all of a sudden I get to day 3, and it's like,
it's
better to eat on a first, because you eat first, you're much happy or whatever. And all of a sudden, your meditation at this time starts to morph into 15 minutes, and with your arm like that, it's just crazy.
I must have recorded every day here. Write a schedule when you get home. Write a schedule when you get home. If I don't write this schedule, I am writing a schedule, and I'm going to carry it with me in my little mini pocketbook. I am going to write a schedule. Because that is the biggest pothole I get in. I get home, and it's I talk to Sherry about this. It's wide open.
Uh-huh.
It's conditioning's heyday.
Yeah.
I want a schedule.
Yeah.
I want it posted, and I want a magnetic board.
That's right.
I'm going to start writing notes to myself. Please follow the schedule. Gas show, guest master.
Thank you for your training. Really good idea.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you on this.
Yeah, we'll get back to you. Right in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Let us think about this one. Anyways, thanks very much.
Thank you.
I've been looking at self-hate, and I was going to say that I think when things are new or really important, that I'm more vulnerable to it, and maybe I'm just noticing it more, but just having, and one thing I've noticed about it, that there's this kind of this idea that it's doing it to help me.
So the self-hate is there to help you whenever something new or what it considers important comes up. So if they can frame it that way, that this is new and this is important, then it can get you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if it were going to speak for itself, it's like, I'm just trying to
help you.
It's trying to make sure you do everything right. And it's very, it's like right here on the shoulder, just watching.
Yeah,
every minute.
Oh, did you do that? That was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And how
really bad.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Is it helping you be better at it?
No. It's helping me have a lot of tension in my body and a lot of fatigue.
Tension and fatigue, really helpful things to have as you're trying to do new and seemingly important tasks to do.
Yeah.
So, I could see how that would be a creative, tense experience to have judgment coming at you all the time, just there perched on your shoulder, pointing out how you're doing this wrong and you should do a better job.
And one of the email questions was about that corner that that's related to the corner I get put in. Here's these really important things to do, and here's how to do it.
Uh-huh.
And it's quick to know, like for which situation, what the standards are.
Uh-huh.
So it presents the standards, and it presents all these terrible things that are going to happen if I don't.
So if you don't do those standards, then if you don't do them, all these terrible things are going to happen. So it's kind of like laying out just all the steps that you need to do, but it's also got another layer of what will happen if you don't do that.
Right.
It's interesting that we're throwing that out.
And then watches.
Watches for you to see if you're going to do those things that will have those horrible consequences if you don't.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah. It's interesting. It's like, so you were there focusing on just what it is that the task at hand. Like how would you need to be in order to be able to do those things?
Yesterday, just I think out of fatigue, tried just relaxing.
Just trying.
Oh, well, and plus I asked the mentor, for some help.
Right, because this is helping you.
it's wearing me out.
It's wearing you out. Yeah.
And so I think it was from asking the mentor. It's kind of like, let's just experiment. Let's try just relaxing.
Let's try relaxing because we've done it this way before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's with the tension and the judgment. So now it's like you're going to try relaxing with the mentor.
Yeah, and it was much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
It seemed like I go through that where in this period of the self-hate, and then somebody gives up, asks for help, and then tries something different.
Yeah, it's interesting that we can go through that process where it's like, it's there we are, we've got this new task to do or something that's important to do, and sometimes it just gets taken over. Conditioned mind is there looking to see how it needs to be done and all the consequences that will happen if you don't. And then go along with that for a while, feeling fatigued and worn out by that, and then resorting to just trying to get some help around this, because it's like, it's one thing that I have to be doing this really important new thing, but it's another thing that it's wearing me out as I'm doing it. So is there a different way that I can have an experience with this than that one that I keep having it? So choosing to see, checking in with the mentor and seeing what could help. And relaxation is something that was suggested to you. Trying that out, and my God, you're actually having an enjoyable time with it.
Yeah, it was striking on different experience.
Trying to remember that. That's a really neat thing to have on a recording too. Like the whole process that you had just laid out. It's like, so the corner that I get backed into, conditioning things, and then just all laid it out. If it's new or it's important, this is one way it's going to snag me.
That's really helpful. I'll do that.
It's just like, you just need to be reminded of that all the time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I can relate to a lot of what was just shared in terms of the process that I go through. I've really been looking at it a lot lately, and just an example of having a task this week one day where something that I had seen other people doing, and I was really like, I would love to do that, and then I got a chance to do that, and then when the kind of whole project was laid out about how important it was to get it, really not mess up, then I went to, now I have to get it right and perfect, and and then it wasn't any fun anymore, you know. And I just see how that happens a lot of the time, you know, like it can take something. So then I thought of a project I could do. I've been trying to help this little part of me be a little bit more playful and step into some things that she doesn't normally feel safe doing. And so we thought of this great project, and we thought, well, that would be fun. And then we said, well, yeah, but it would have to be done by this date. And then it was like something else to go on the list to have to get done. And I mean,
it's interesting. It's that same kind of, you know, like, it'd be interesting and fun to do this. And then this, like, little added condition gets thrown onto it, like, it needs to be perfect or it needs to be done by, and all of a sudden it's like,
So what it brought back to awareness was this aspect of my personality that I was one of the first ones I ever identified, and she just kind of dropped off the horizon lately. And what I had called her way back when I first saw her, and this is years ago, was Safe Sally. And, you know, I have a total image of her as, you know, I have two black and white pictures of her. One, she's about 3, and one, she's probably like 6 or 7. But in both of them, she's dressed identically with her little navy blue church coat and her black patent shoes and her white gloves and her straw hat. And, you know, and she's really clean and she's been very good. And, you know, and she's just the one who has to get it. She's good. She's perfect. She doesn't want anyone to find out anything bad about her. She's like shoring up the defenses, you know. And so in the context of the email class, I've really been looking at, you know, is she the way she is because she's a 6 and she's so afraid of what will happen? Or is she the way she is because she's a 1 and she can't stand to get it wrong? Mm-hmm. Because I can relate to both of them really strongly. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so whatever she is, we've just been kind of having a plan to help her play more. Help her play and help her feel safe at the same time, you know, reassure her and kind of nurture her into, you know, seeing what she's doing as not a life or death matter.
Right. That in both circumstances, it's like, mm-hmm. it becomes life or death because of the voices that mm-hmm. come in about it.
Yeah.
And it's the conditioning that will come, that will try to convince her, you, about mm-hmm. what the situation is and what will happen as a result of it. It's mm-hmm. almost like that set of two, those two columns, like, mm-hmm. this is what the task is, mm-hmm. and this is something that's overlaid on top of it, like what will happen as a result of this, and projects into the future about, like, what this means, you know, like, okay, well, then it starts branching off into all sorts of stuff that has nothing to do with actually doing the thing.
Right.
The thing that you were seeing other people doing and would like to be a part of. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And I was just looking at that this morning, that part about not projecting off into the future, because that's mm-hmm. usually where it goes wrong. You know, if I'm just enjoying what I'm doing, if I'm just in the moment doing what I'm doing, mm-hmm. then it's fine. But the voices are the ones who say, well, and if this happens then, or
right.
but after this then, and then remember that somewhere down the, you know, it's all of the what if kind of, and well, it's fine to be doing this now, but you better hurry up because there's this to do, or if that doesn't happen just the way it should, then they're going to say this, or, you know, I mean, it's just, but it's the same kind of thing that's just been talked about the, you know, the added weight, the unnecessary unnecessary burden that she's had to carry all these years.
Mm-hmm.
Because of whatever reason she decided things had to be perfect.
Yeah. And it's the irony, as you're describing it, is that it doesn't assist with actually doing mm-hmm. the thing. It actually detracts from doing the thing, and it makes it more of a tension-producing experience, something to actually dread,
right.
something that will possibly make all those things on a list of all the things that could possibly happen happen, because you're focused. Right. Because it's like, look, right. look over here, look right. at all this that can happen. And by golly, you're not actually paying attention to the thing.
And then you do it.
Yeah, and you do it. See? You should never get yourself involved in any of this craziness in the first place.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And, you know, kind of a related aspect of that that I'm seeing is that sort of the more, you know, conditioning idealizes what I guess it would call my time. It idealizes like an afternoon where nothing is scheduled, or you know, whatever. You know,
it idealizes.
Right,
that.
Because wow, just think of all the things.
Just think of all the things.
That's all the things they could do to me.
All the quiet time with us.
I know. You know, that's exactly right. It's like think of all the possibilities, and then what in fact is think of all, you know, what happens is all the ways that it has an opportunity to get my attention. You know, it's like a setup for, ha.
Yeah.
We have her to ourselves this afternoon. She doesn't have.
That's what they're saying.
You know, it's like a schedule. You know, she doesn't have a plan. So, you know, and it's just if you know, whatever I, you know, whether I'm a one or six, when I was looking at the last email assignment about, you know, what you go to when you're, you know, in your good times, what you move into, and I was when I did that assignment, I was a six that day.
That's what you moved into.
So, right, so I was going into a nine, was, you know, more optimistic and peaceful and, you know, more easygoing. And but whichever it is, or one going to a seven, almost the same thing. But I realized that when there's actually something that calls me forth, you know, there's a task or a project or someone invites something or I get a great inspiration, that when there is something that really, I guess I would say moves me, you know, when there's something that calls me forth, then I step right into that place of bigness and peace and expansion and presence, you know. And when I'm small and constricted and playing it safe, and then it's just then whichever one of those little ones I am, the one or six, will be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being in that small, constricted place just keeps that. It sounds like it just keeps it all the same. Keeps it all safe and safe and close.
Well,
like
right.
small
safe
and safe
close,
and
yeah.
in that quiet space with the voices, basically, the conditioned mind. And when you're called into, you know, something bigger, then you really step up into it. Mm-hmm. That you can, you're actually, you know, confident and you can actually do it. And you're big.
Right, I'm big, and I'm enjoying it, and I'm happy.
Yeah, you're
happy
about that.
Yeah.
This is like you're just describing it. It's just so you can actually picture them. You know, like there's really, really small, squashed in a little space. And there's another one that's really. Big and can just do stuff, and it's like that, you know, that mentorish kind of aspect. But then it's just like, oh yeah, I know how to do it, like an adult.
Right. Yeah, and I just, as you were saying that, it's like I could hear what the conditioning would say and what the mentor would say, and how different. Just as an example of how different they are. So seeing that, so the conditioning says, well, then you need more to do. You need something, you know, you need a figure.
You need something to call you to life.
You need something to call you to life. You need something to do, which just becomes, I don't need anything more. I need to do.
Well, there they are. They're just called right up.
And then the mentor, what the mentor said, on the other hand, is just like, well, then how can we bring that way of being, that attitude of mind into whatever it is we're doing?
How can you bring that attitude of mind to whatever it is that we do?
How can you be called forth into whatever it is that's in front of you to do?
Which is a totally different
thing,
point of view. One more thing. I gotta do this. Rammed into, I already have all.
Yeah.
That's so interesting as we go about and just like you know, there's the thing in front of us, and there's like the avenue that we can habitually fall into. Like this one, we'll frame it in this way, and this one we'll frame it in a completely different way. Whether we get opened up to it and become big, or we get squashed and stay safe and small and stuck with this assessment of what's going on. Thank you. Amy?
I wanted to report on my morning routine. We talked about the other day, the use of supporting ourselves in the morning. Mm-hmm. So I've been taking that on. And really enjoying it.
Options there, rather than it being some sort of like regimen, mm-hmm. to be like this thing that you need to do this, this, and this.
If there are things I have in mind as possibilities.
That's right.
And then I just sort of
see which possibility you fall into.
And so it's just kind of resurrected my morning recording. I finally found.
All right.
Whiteboard, or you know, to just keep that alive and to with those reminders about what supports me. And the other thing I just want to share, just said this insight, it's, the Enneagram class has been very interesting, and just looking at being a nine, and one of the things I can just so relate to being a nine is the invisibility thing, and I'm not important thing, and when I start questioning about what number I am, I can remember that going back to the way when I was a little kid, you know, just this whole invisible thing, and then it helped to be one of eight kids, because Matt just really, that's the minute that way. You know, well, obviously I am. And so then, I can remember as a little kid, just when there would be gatherings or family get-togethers, I would either go in another room and feign sleep. I would listen, but I'd pretend I wasn't really there. You know? And if I didn't go into the room, I'd like maybe lay down on the floor or on a chair or something and close my eyes and pretend like I was asleep so that I could hear everything that was going on, but everybody would think I wasn't really there. You know? And I just saw that for the first time this morning sitting in group, that what happens in groups very often is this unbelievable sleepiness will come over me. And it's not that if I got up and went to the dorm room and laid down, I know I wouldn't be sleeping.
You'd be ready to go.
I'd be ready to go. It's not sleepiness. It's that same thing of, okay, I'm invisible. I'm not really here. I'm not really important. I'm just going to, you know, cruise.
Listen.
But not listen and not really participate. I'm here in this sort of semi- and so it's just interesting. That just came up into my awareness, and then instantly that it just faded. That kind of that comatose kind of sleepy. I'm not really here.
Just that state just went.
Yeah, just went.
Huh.
And just seeing it, and actually, I think probably in that instant, I just embraced it. Like, oh yeah, this isn't really, you know, this doesn't say a whole lot about me.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That this is just another one of those processes that goes on that could be just related to being a nine, you know? And,
right.
And,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is just like one of those processes that relate to being nine, has nothing to do with you. You actually brought attention and awareness to it.
And I think it's come up a lot as something like that. Really, something needs to be fixed, and something that's, you know, a flaw. And so, just to have that come up and just have it embraced and not come from that point of view, like, oh my God, something's really wrong here.
You need to go lie down.
I need to go lie down. So anyway, just keep watching that.
Yeah. It's neat how we just like just get that information about like what any type you are and all these things, like, you know, and then just it starts to trace back into like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, I can see how that happened before and how it's happening now.
Right.
And just putting it all into perspective and not having to take it so personally causes it just like you said, just lift. Just fade.
It's just a great relief. Yeah. Just like, oh my God. Oh, there goes that thing again. So what?
Yeah. Okay, exactly. Yeah. So what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Kind of related to what was shared earlier in the group about being injured. Training at home. I'm kind of injured in a way, in a couple of different ways that keep me from maintaining an identity that I've had for a long time and that I'm really attached to, which has been a good offer. I'm just not having a good year. I'm in a swamp, as they say. And it's been a really interesting thing to watch I could talk about like a million different parts of it, but the part that's being interesting is I also have started, since Thursday night's group discussion, doing a morning practice that we learned in a retreat a few weeks ago that's helping
physical.
Uh-huh. And what I'm being told is that the only reason that I would ever stick with it would be because it would help my blocking.
You'd only do this thing that would help you is if it would help your golf game, not you.
Yes. And
okay.
If right. And you know, I mean, when I look at my process, my typical process, it's true. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
But I also see, Ted, what you are just the master at, which is making reminders, is very helpful for me. You know, the only practice that I do every day is a silly little dance. And it's because when I'm brushing my teeth and I look up in the mirror, there's a sign there that says, do your dance. And so I do it while I'm brushing my teeth, and it's really fun. So I haven't yet made the little poster that I'll run into if I don't, you know, if it's going to jar me out of madness.
Uh-huh.
Out of that nine oblivion, and to continue to do my practice, whether it helps my coffee.
Uh-huh.
So, but you know, it's to me, it's really good to see that karma, that nine karma,
mm-hmm.
and just how. Persuasive it can be, and how the voices want to talk me out of doing the things that are going to me. The belief is what the voices want me to believe is, as I think was stated earlier, I should be past this by now, and I'm not.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's there. It is there.
Yes.
And it, that energy moves in that direction,
uh-huh.
in those directions that are not conducive to presence and taking care of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I want it, whether I think I should, it shouldn't be anymore, uh-huh. it is.
Uh-huh.
And so the practice is reminders.
Yeah.
You know, that. Putting up reminders as a practice.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good part. Mm-hmm. Reminders are a practice.
How? Reminders are a practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Reminders are so a practice.
Yeah. If that was our practice, to put up reminders, we'd have to remember to do that. We'd have to put a big reminder to do that. That's good. Yeah. Because it's like, you know, I just. It doesn't matter what we do, you know, something, you know, I have a recording that I listen to every morning about Sherry's thing about, like, it doesn't matter what you do. It could be waking up in the morning and patting your nose three times. It's just a matter of doing that. But it's like, whether we see the benefit to it or not, and it sounds like you want to do this thing, so you're looking to see about creating a reminder for yourself. Remind yourself to do it. It'll just be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see if Jim keeps with that practice, whether it helps or not. I will remind myself to remember to put up reminders.
Okay.
And important.
Remind us how you're doing.